I'm really excited to see you all here this afternoon because, you know, this subject, how can I pray when God is silent? On one hand, I'm so encouraged to see so many of you here. And on the other hand, I think, oh, you know, this is such a real thing for so many of us that when we are facing really difficult situations and we pray and actually feel like God is silent. And so I'm really excited in one level for us to explore this together in that way that we come to God in the reality of life and not just kind of this shiny expectation of what we hope all might be, but the nitty-gritty of life. So my name is Claire. If you haven't come across me before, I have just recently been ordained into the Church of England, so I'm just doing my curacy at the moment, thanks. Got my human jumper on. Ah, thanks for that little applause. It was as much a surprise to me as anybody else. But, you know, God calls us into an adventure, doesn't he? And we never know where that's going to end up. So watch out, it might be you next, stood here. But anyway, so that's me. So I'm just starting my curacy. I have been speaking here at Soul Survivor in these kind of seminars for the last few years, but I'm so excited to be here with you again today. And shall we pray, actually, before I launch on? Let's just take a moment to be with God and invite him here. Father God, we invite you to come. Holy Spirit, will you come now? Lord, we thank you that you have done so much in and through us this week already. And yet, Lord, we invite you to come again. Lord, I pray this afternoon that you would speak to each of us. For those of us who feel like you're silent at the moment, Lord, would you come in your presence and bring us peace, that we might know you more, that we might feel you more closely, and that we may follow you and love you more dearly. Amen. So things for me at the moment in my life actually are pretty good, but it hasn't always been like that for me. Like most of us, if not all of us, you know, life throws us challenges and sometimes we find ourselves in situations where it just feels like it's chaos and we don't know which way is up. Yeah? So is that just me? Or have some of us experienced that, or maybe even are experiencing that at the moment? And so there's been seasons in my life where those things that we feel like we really should be able to depend on, that actually I've discovered there's seasons where I haven't been able to depend on that, whether it's people or places, you know, groups of people, friendships, sometimes even church for me, that actually those things that we feel like I really should be able to depend on that or those people, I've found myself in situations where actually it feels like the ground beneath you is crumbling away and you just don't know which way is up and who to turn to and where we can hold on to. And it's in those situations, I think, that sometimes it feels like God is the most silent, when we are crying out to God and saying, where are you? And it's almost like there is nothing but chaos. And for me, my reaction was, okay, let's keep calm and carry on. But the problem was that I wasn't really very calm. Actually, I was really afraid. I was very scared. And so we kind of, sometimes we can paint on this sort of smile and this, yeah, I'm just carrying on because what else can we do? Today is still going to happen, so we've got to do today. But on the inside, sometimes I think we actually can be very afraid because it feels like, where is this solid foundation? What can I hold on to? And we look around. And when life is really difficult and really painful and challenges us so deeply, we can find that people around us, and often it's well-meaning, but the people around us sometimes can kind of try and give us advice. Yeah, like, well, let's try and explain and understand, why is this bad thing happening? And sometimes we can want that for ourselves. You know, when disaster strikes, we want to know why. Why is this happening? Why is it happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? It's not fair. And so the response, I think, sometimes that we receive from that is, you know, sometimes people say things like, well, this is all happening for a reason, you know? Or perhaps we might feel like, oh, if I just had a bit more faith, then it would all be okay. Or maybe we think, I've probably done something wrong. I must have done something wrong for God to be punishing me or punishing my family or this situation or whatever. For me, somebody once said to me, oh, you've really got to be strong for your family. Like as if my pain was somehow not quite as great as the pain of the people around me. You know, you've got to be strong. You've got to be the strong one. And the problem is that often when we hear those things, although they are so well-meaning, sometimes there's still something in us that says, but this is not fair and it's not right. And I feel a little bit lost and I don't know what to do. And your words are of no comfort to me at all. And when we turn to God and God is still silent in those situations, what do we do? How do we pray? Well, there was a guy in the Bible called Job. And the story of Job, he is like the definitive example of this kind of situation. So Job had like the perfect life. He had the lovely family. He had the big house. He had the nice car. Obviously, making it modern. He had, you know, he had loads of cattle and livestock. He had everything that he could possibly need. And he loved God with all of his heart. And he'd never done anything wrong. And it's a story worth reading. But the story unfolds that there's this kind of other story that goes on backstage, if you like, or offstage, where God and the devil have this conversation. And the devil says, yeah, but you know, he only loves you because he's got all of this stuff. And God says, nah, not my Job. My Job loves me just because he loves me, not because of his circumstances. And so what happens then is that in order to prove his point in this story, the kind of the story outside of the story, Job finds himself losing everything that he held dear. So literally in one day, his family all die. And then his all of his wealth and his servants and his cattle and his crops, everything completely decimated in like a day. And he's just lost literally everything. Everything that you would think that makes him secure is gone. And it's like his world completely crumbles. And Job rips his clothes and said, what is going on, Lord? And his friends come and sit with him for a little bit. And Job is kind of like, I don't get it. Like, what is going on? It's not fair. This shouldn't happen to me. And his friends sort of sit with him for a little while. And then they get a little bit fed up of his moaning and say, well, they start to say some of these things that we've just talked about. Well, you know, you must have done something wrong because God's obviously punishing you. And Job's like, no, let me tell you, I have never done anything wrong. This is just unfair. And he goes into this whole tirade of like anger and anguish. He's just fed up. There's no hope for Job. Everything is gone. And he tells God all about it. Because Job feels secure enough in his relationship with God to tell God exactly what he thinks about this situation. Job is secure enough in his relationship with God to be angry towards God and say, it is not fair. What is happening? You've promised me this and this and this, and now this is happening? This is not on. And Job challenges God, and God stays silent. He stays silent for most of the whole book of Job. His friends aren't silent. His friends are coming back like, yeah, but you say this, but there must be something. God must be teaching you a lesson. And Job gets more and more angry and irate about the whole situation and the unfairness of it. And then eventually, God speaks. And what God says isn't, okay, Job, let me just explain to you why this has all happened well and give him a whole elaborate explanation. No, God doesn't do that. Let me read to you. This is in Job chapter 38, if anybody's taken notes and wants to follow this. The Lord speaks. The Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, and he said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me." Because Job's been questioning God, right? So God's like, okay, I've taken your questions. Now I'm going to ask you some questions. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst from it forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? See, what God goes on to say is, do you know, Job? At the beginning of all things, I was there. Even before you were even created, I was there. And the thing that I find so incredible about God's response is that I think that God knows sometimes when he's silent and when we're angry and feel like life has been unfair to us. Do you know, I think God in his wisdom knows that in all of our questioning, really, we don't really want to know the answer, why is this happening to me? What we really want to know is, where are you, God? Are you really still with me? Because even if our circumstances changed, if we don't know that God is with us, we still don't have peace. We still don't have hope. The only thing, the only person who brings peace and hope into a chaotic situation is God, is Jesus. And so for all of Job's protests, God replies, "I am here and I have been here since the dawn of creation. And so if I've been here since then, why do you think that I would leave you now?" And I think sometimes God's silence isn't a rejection. I don't think that God's silence is a lack of him caring or even a lack of his presence. Sometimes I think God's silence is that he just wants to sit with us and weep with us. Because sometimes in some situations, there just is no answer. Sometimes life just is chaotic. And silence from God is the kindest thing that he can do for us. To sit with us in the pit of our misery and just to hold us and say nothing. And to allow us to cry and to weep and to protest against our circumstances. Because God is God with us, is he not? And we see that, don't we, most fully in Jesus. Because when sin and suffering and chaos in the world is around, God's ultimate response to that wasn't to send like a whole list of instructions of, well, if you just live like this, this and this and this and this, then it will all be fine, and then kind of step back and leave us all to it. No, God's response is to come himself fully in Jesus, to come and be God with us, God walking the earth with us, God in the mess and the difficulty of life with us in all of his fullness. And then obviously, after Jesus comes the Holy Spirit, who is still God with us. Jesus came to be at the heart of our suffering. He's not afraid of suffering and pain. He is the embodiment of vulnerable love. He made himself completely vulnerable to us. And as we, as humanity, piled on pain and suffering and abuse and rejection, and we piled all of that on Jesus, the only response that he had was to love in return. That's all he did. He loved in return, but he loved right into the depth of pain and suffering and even death. Jesus's love, Jesus took his love. And so that's why I think that we can have confidence that when we feel like we're in pain, that we can take our pain to Jesus, knowing that we will only receive love in return from him. Isn't that amazing? Do you know, I don't know any other relationship. I've never had any other relationship where I can hurl abuse at somebody, or I can just be so angry, or I can cry and be, you know, brutally honest and only receive love back. Because sometimes, actually, our friends and our family, and even us ourselves, like Job's friends, we can kind of understand, can't we, you know, why they got fed up after months of Job wailing and complaining. We kind of get it, like, all right, Job, you know, move on. We've all got lives, you know. And, we kind of understand that in a way. And yet, when it's our pain and our suffering, we need somewhere to go. We need somebody to go to that meets us right in the heart of that pain, right at our place of our most vulnerable, and just to love us, because that's what brings freedom and healing. Yesterday, I did a seminar on praying Psalm 139. If you weren't there, you know, it might be worth a listen back if this is a subject that you want to really dig into. But that sense that in Psalm 139, God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist says, I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Where can I go from your presence, Lord? And so the response is to respond in a, now come and investigate me. Come and have a closer look. Let me be vulnerable with you. And when we are in pain, that's the hardest time to be vulnerable, because it hurts. You know, she'll probably kill me for saying this. My daughter, I haven't actually asked her permission. Am I allowed to talk about you? She broke her arm recently, and she lifted it up. She fell off some monkey bars, and she lifted it up, and it was kind of this shape. And she looked at me and said, Mum, do you think it might be broken? Because she was in a lot of pain. And I said, let's go and let the doctor have a look, shall we? Because, you know, I don't want to create a little bit of panic just now. But she held it. Now, if I'd gone to her and said, let me have a look and try and straighten it for you, she would have absolutely knocked my block out off, because it hurts, right? When something hurts, we say, just don't touch. Do not touch, because this hurts. And so when it hurts inside, it's that same thing. It's the hardest time to be vulnerable when we're in pain, whether that's emotionally, physically, mentally. And yet Jesus says, please, let's have a look together. Let me in. And so, I don't know your situation that you've come in. And I actually don't need to know. I don't know whether you're here because you're going through a really challenging time. And you just need to know. You need to hear God speak. I don't know whether you've got a friend who's in a situation where they're saying, well, what's the point in praying? Because God never speaks anyway. And you're hoping to come and get some tips from me today. I don't know. Or whether you just look at our world and you see what's going on in our world at the moment and think, what, God, where are you? Where are you speaking in our world today? How is Jesus good news? Where is the hope? I don't know. I don't know why you're here, but we're going to just take, I think, a few minutes. And I want to invite you, I'm going to play some music, but I'd like to invite you to write to God, either write it down on a bit of paper if you've got stuff with you, or just silently have a one-to-one with God and be really real with him for a minute. What is it that you want to say that you think that God is being silent about in your life? Perhaps you want, like Job, you just need to lament. You just need to say, this is not fair. What is going on, God? Where are you in this? I don't know. But I'm going to play some music, and I'm just going to give a bit of space, because whilst this stuff is great to listen to and get some theory about, what really we need to do is to come to God vulnerably and honestly and trust that he only wants to love us in return. And so we're free to be honest. So we're just going to take a few minutes to do that now. So I don't know what you've written about, and nobody needs to, because God knows. And so the first thing that I hope, you know, today we're not going to fix everything, are we? This isn't the end today. My hope is that this is for some of us, a beginning of talking to God honestly and vulnerably. And so can I encourage you, if you found that helpful, just to write down or to in some way kind of spill your guts to God in an honest and vulnerable way. Can I encourage you to keep doing that? Keep being honest with God. So that's the first thing, because whatever you've written about, it did happen and it does matter. Sometimes it can feel when people try and give us advice and they just want the best for us. But sometimes it can feel like our pain is kind of brushed aside, like it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. And Jesus knows that it matters to the point where he deals with all of that stuff at the cross. That's the reason that he comes to meet us in our pain, is because he wants to bring freedom and life to us. And so he's not afraid of it. He comes to meet us in it. There's a story in the New Testament of in the Gospels when Jesus's really good friend, one of his like really good friends, Lazarus, dies, and Jesus is kind of away on a trip somewhere else, and he gets word that Lazarus isn't well, and he takes his time to come. And in the time that he takes, Lazarus dies. And you know, it's one of the few times that we see that Jesus weeps. He sees his friend that has died, and he sees his friend's sisters, and Jesus just weeps, because it's not right, is it? When people die, it just feels wrong, because it's not supposed to be that way. And so Jesus weeps. And Mary, one of Lazarus's sisters, sees Jesus. And when she sees him, in her grief and in her anger, this is John 11, I'm reading from verse 32, if you're taking notes to look back later. But Jesus says, the Bible says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Isn't that the cry sometimes of our heart? Lord, if you had been here, where are you? Where are you, Lord? If only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That, I think, is the depth of our heart's cry when we're in pain. Where are you, Lord? But Jesus is there. And even in a situation that feels like it's completely hopeless, Jesus takes his friend who is dead and brings him back to life. Because in situations when it feels like there is no hope, in Jesus, there is always hope. And my life is a testament to that. And I'm sure if you speak to other people who you know have gone through challenging times, my prayer is that they'll be able to share the same thing. That even when there are situations that feel hopeless, somehow, some way, Jesus still brings hope. And it might not be the way that we expect. It might not be, actually, that, you know, we might have lost somebody and Jesus hasn't brought them back to life. It may be a different hope that Jesus brings to what we expect, but Jesus does always bring hope. Because even the parts of us that feel like they've died with the situation that we're in, Jesus says, "I want to come and be in that place with you, because I want to bring life in all its fullness." And so we're going to take just another bit of time, really, from now until the end of the seminar. So we've got at least 15 minutes, I reckon. Maybe more if the venue hosts are very kind and if God's doing lots of stuff. But, you know, it's all very well me saying to you, God's with you, hold on to him. Even if you hold on to nothing else, even if you can only hold on with your fingertips, hold on and let him carry you through. That means something on one level. But do you know, when God speaks, when God says, "Just stick with me, we're in this together." The situation might not change immediately, might not ever change, but that sense of hope, that sense of God is still with you, even in the mess, that's what gives us hope. And so the enabling team, some of the enabling team very kindly have come. So if you would like to pray with somebody, I'm going to ask them to come and just sort of be near the front here somewhere. But if you also just want to take time, just you and God, just to say, okay, God, look, this is the end of the week. I'm tired. I'm still battling this situation. But God, I believe that you have hope. And I want to take that hope home with me to whatever it is that I face. And so this is an opportunity to do that, to begin that kind of conversation with God. And so I'm going to play some music. And I'm going to put a picture of the cross up, just so that we can remind ourselves that Jesus goes right into the heart of death and breaks the power of it and brings life. That's the ultimate hope that we have. And so you may want to take the situation, whatever it was that you've written about or thought about or reflected on just a moment ago, that may be something that you feel you need to lay at Jesus's feet and say, this feels like death, Jesus, and I don't know what to do with it. So I'm trusting you. The only thing that we're called to do is to forgive the people who've hurt us and to hold on to Jesus no matter what. And he will do the rest. And so it may be for you that there are people that come to mind that you think, oh, I know I need to forgive them. And forgiveness isn't saying what you've done to me is okay. Forgiveness is saying I refuse to let this dictate who I am and how I am anymore. And so I let go. I let myself off the hook of whatever it is that's been done. And instead, I hold on to Jesus, even if it's by our fingertips, because I know that that's where hope lies and that's where life lies.